The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God and with all your heart and all your soul and all, with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment. Well, one of my texts as pastor each week is I deliver a sermon, and as I prepare the sermon, I listen to what the gospel text is being proclaimed. What's going on up here? And what's God trying to proclaim and get us to know? And then my next question is, how does this show up or impact our lives? So I go, what's the so what? We have this good news, well, so what? Well, in just a moment, your sermon today is actually going to be 7 examples of the impact of today's gospel. They are going to be sharing the so what of love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Let's prepare to hear these faith statements by singing Take My Life.
My name is Natalie Chadwick. As my mom always says, I feel all my feels very deeply. Whether it's me feeling down because a family member has passed, or the immense joy I felt when I got a wrapped cantaloupe the size of my head for Christmas. Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise to all the earth. In sixth grade, I was really feeling all my feels for quite a while. My friends would, of course, try to cheer me up, and sometimes it would help, other times not so much. Well, word got around my friend group, and my friend's friend group, and so on. Then a couple of days later, there was a side of cantaloupe at lunch. I sat down at my lunch table with my tray of food. Before I knew what was happening, kids I didn't even know that well came up to my table. They would come up quietly to where I was sitting and put a piece or two of cantaloupe on my tray. My friends at my table started calling my pile Mount Cantaloupe, joking there was no way I could eat all of it. Well, somehow I did manage to eat all of Mount Cantaloupe, and it was the best food I have ever eaten. You could just taste the love inside of it. Psalm 126, verse 2 through 3. Then our mouth was filled with joy and laughter, and the tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for us. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Now I'm a freshman in high school, and I feel all my feels more positively. Sometimes at lunch, people will still give me some of their cantaloupe. It helps remind me that I can find faith in people and that they will always be there when you need them. Also, to my dear preschool lunch ladies, I'm sorry for stealing all the other preschoolers' cantaloupe at lunch. I promised I have stopped doing that, for the most part. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Josiah Desnoy. Revelations 2:6-2. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. My older brother, Caleb, is a significant part of my life. He is a role model and to help me and helps with many things. In November of last year, Caleb and I were riding all terrain vehicles in a field, going in circles around our cousin's house. We took a turn and I went ahead about 10 feet ahead. When I didn't hear Caleb's motor, I stopped and looked back. I saw that the vehicle that Caleb was riding was on its side. So I went over to see if he was okay. As I got off my vehicle, I heard Caleb screaming. I went to find my dad and his cousin, but by the time I found my dad's cousin, I was not able to talk normally because I was not breathing normally. It took about 3 or 4 times and I was eventually able to get out what I was trying to say. My dad's cousin told me to get back on the ATV, and he drove us to where Caleb was. My dad had started to run when I told him, so my dad beat us to Caleb. We had to call 911, and it took about a half an hour to get to the accident site. They took Caleb to Mercy One in Mason City, Iowa. That night, they transferred Caleb in an ambulance to Mayo Hospital in Rochester. The next day, my dad, Tobias, and I went to Mayo to see Caleb before his surgery. Sadly, we got there about 15 minutes after he had gone for surgery. When the predicted time for Caleb to get out of surgery came and went, and he was not done, I started to get stressed. At some point, Dad had contacted Pastor Chris asking for prayers for Caleb. Pastor and Lulu came to visit, and when I saw them, I broke down in sobs because I was so overwhelmed. They helped me calm down, and they waited with us. After surgery, Caleb was in the ICU because he had fluid buildup in his lungs and air in his chest outside the lungs. They had to put Caleb on oxygen. Caleb was so brave his first night in the ICU. He had an oxygen mask on and could not really talk. He was making texting motions so we got him a phone to type on so we could talk. After Caleb's lungs got better, he was moved to the PEDS unit. It felt like Caleb spent the same amount of time in PEDS as in the ICU. He really got to go, he finally got to go home after a really long journey. My mom and Tobias helped me and Caleb and showed their love in different ways. Hosanna gave us a lot of support too. Abby and Nora helped me get to confirmation and worship. And we know everyone is praying for us. John 1:5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Thanks to our Hosanna family, we were able to get through that hard time and get better to a better place to help Caleb and the rest of my family.
Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. Being in a new school is tough. The hardest part for me was meeting new people. One day at lunch, I wasn't sure where to sit, so I sat by a girl who appeared to be shy. This girl was named Yael. Yael is Jewish and used to live in Israel. She would tell me all about Israel and her culture, and I would talk about my culture. We didn't have very much in common. Most of our conversations at first were me talking her ear off and her listening. Our friendship meant a lot. It still does. Having a friend like Yael really helped me adjust to a new school. We could tell each other anything. I always had a go-to person to pair up with. In August, Yael moved back to Israel. I had known that this was happening for a while, but I wanted to enjoy my time with her. In October, the war in Israel started. I watched the story on the news at school. For the rest of the day, I couldn't stop thinking about how my best friend from the year before was in danger. There was nothing I could do but wait and hope that Yael and her family would make it through. My dad later found LinkedIn, a website where professionals could connect. Yael's dad is a doctor, which is why they moved here in the first place. My dad was able to communicate with Yael's dad and confirm their safety. Despite the tremendous relief, I was still worried. I was glad she and her family were safe, but I didn't know how long they would stay safe. Now I'm in high school, and I have to adjust to a new school all over again. But unlike in sixth grade, I have a bunch of supportive friends who are experiencing it with me. I still miss Yael and think about all the fun times we shared, but I definitely don't regret sitting at that lunch table.
Hi, I'm Nora Larson. Romans 5:4-5. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out onto our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I love swimming, but it wasn't always this important to me. When I was in kindergarten, my parents had me start swimming lessons at the rack. At that point, it was just getting used to the water. I remember the teacher saying that the next lesson we were going to learn how to tread water. Immediately after getting out of the pool, I remember begging my mom to pull us out of swimming lessons because I could not wrap my head around the fact that we were going to the deep end. We did end up stopping lessons for a while until we could find a new place to go. In that period of time, I almost drowned at least 3 times. I remember one of those times we were at a neighbor's pool and I was swimming by myself. I went underwater, and when I tried to come back up, there was a pool floaty on top of me. I struggled, and I remember trying to push it out of the way. I don't remember the rest because of how long ago it was, but I have been told that someone jumped in to save me. After that, my mom decided to take Abby and me to the place where she took swimming lessons. The Ballards had a cabin in Orinoco and taught lessons in their pool. I'm pretty sure we did lessons through most of elementary school. I made more progress with these lessons, and I did learn to tread water. But when it came to swimming distances, I would swim and swim and swim and get nowhere. In fifth grade, we started taking lessons at the rec center. We had private lessons, just Abby, me, and the teacher, who actually ended up being on the JM swim team. Those lessons helped a lot, but I still had a problem. I did not know how to breathe correctly while swimming. I used a snorkel mask instead of regular goggles. My mom had a student teacher at the time, Maddie, who was a swimmer. That summer, my mom asked Maddie to give me private lessons to teach me how to breathe. So the summer after fifth grade, I had private lessons at the Soldiers Field pool. Maddie really helped me. I started using normal goggles, and I swam full length of the pool. She taught me how to do breaststroke and how to properly swim freestyle. I think she was the one that led me to liking swimming. In sixth grade, we moved up to prep squad at the rec center. This was my first experience that was like a real swim team practice. We learned all the terms that I now know better than other vocabulary. We swam full lengths of the pool and learned the strokes I didn't know. I remember the day that we learned the IM, which stands for individual medley, which is all four strokes. I remember reciting the order of them: butterfly, backstroke, breaststroke, freestyle. The first time we did it, I remember it being really hard. I have asthma, and that affects everything I do that's related to exercise. It has gotten better, but when I was in sixth grade, doing that IM for the first time, it really triggered my asthma. By the time I finished, my lungs and my body were exhausted. Eventually, after what felt like forever, but was only a year, we moved up again. We had watched so many other kids move up to red team, but it seemed like we would never be the ones to do it so. By the time when we did, it was called Discovery. This was a lot more work than prep squad had been. I remember dreading going to swimming, but I always felt good afterwards. Then we met a whole group of friends at swimming, and I would go only to see them. Every month there was a mini meet, and I was always too scared, so for a while I didn't go. Then I finally decided to go to one, and I was freaked out. It was crazy hearing people cheering and having to climb out of the water and do so many other new things. I ended up realizing I really liked breaststroke. I ended up winning some heats with that stroke. I had a new feeling about swimming. I felt pride. Then that kept happening after every practice. By the time the end of eighth grade came around, swimming was this wonderful experience where I was meeting new friends and being proud of myself for the work I was doing. We started talking about high school, and I started thinking, I can do this in high school too. It was scary because we were leaving all of our friends from Discovery Swim Team. In August, we finally got to the first day of high school, swim practice. The first 2 days, we didn't get in the water. The email said we were doing get to know you activities, but apparently that means intense land exercises. We started doing 30 different ab exercises and running laps. We met a friend who was also starting eighth grade at JM, and she hated running, so it worked out well. I think she really helped me get adjusted to swim team. One of my favorite days to think about is our first meet. My coach put me in the 100 meter breaststroke, which is four lengths of the pool. I was really freaked out right before it. I thought I was going to throw up. I had never done anything close to that before. After watching many events and being nervous out of my mind, it was time for the JV 100 breaststroke. I stepped up to the block, and this girl from the other team wished me good luck. I was too nervous to appreciate it at the time, but I'm glad she did that. It calmed me down a bit. Before I knew it, I was diving off the block and hitting the freezing cold water. At that moment, I didn't think about winning, and I wasn't able to see how far the other girls were. I was so focused on one thing, breathing. I didn't think about anything except the pattern of my breathing. I was so worried about my asthma, it was all I could think about while I swam. When I was almost done, I finally became aware of the people around me. The other girls were almost done, and I still had a length left. Every time I took a breath, I heard my teammates cheering for me. All the friends I had made on the team were gathered at the end of the lane screaming my name. By the time I finished, my lungs were burning. I got out quickly and my whole body was aching. I remember a senior hugging me and many high fives while I was trying to get to my inhaler. I grabbed it and my water bottle and ran into the locker room. My mom was at the locker room door waiting for me. I thought I was dying. I rushed to take care of my lungs. Soon after I got in there, my friends came in to check on me. I heard lots of, "You did great," and "You cooked," and got hugs from all of them. I laughed and realized my lungs are fine, I'm with my friends, and I just did more than I ever thought I could do. I stopped feeling overwhelmed and like I was dying and started feeling proud. Our team won the meet and we went to Applebee's to celebrate. Now I have swum the 100 breaststroke for every meet since, and my lungs are getting better. I still need my inhaler and feel like I'm dying, but less so. I'm not the best swimmer on the team, but I'm way better than when I started swimming in kindergarten. Well, 2 Chronicles 15:7. But you take courage, do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded.
Okay.
Okay, before we get started, I want to say that my section in the bulletin is null and void now due to some technical errors. Sorry, this is technology sucks. Okay, here we go. Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord our God is with you wherever you go. Ah, childhood. We all have our memories of it, especially this time of year. Playing at the parks, going trick-or-treating during Halloween, and being kids in general. Now imagine your life being twisted and turned upside down. Happy memories turning sour, and finding out darker meanings to things you thought were normal. And while it wasn't always easy for me, those challenges shaped who I am today. But let's travel back to that tumultuous year of 2020. Honestly, it was a time filled with unforeseen struggles, COVID-19, social injustices, and personal challenges that seemed overwhelming to a gigantic degree. We questioned everything, including the presence of God. But in those dark moments, we discovered our strength, our ability to unite as a community and solve injustice together. Well, moving back to me, because everything's all about me. While we are on the topic, at the time, I faced not only physical challenges, but mental ones. My parents divorced at the time, and loneliness was creeping in like a cloud. It was isolating to navigate these struggles, especially when I tried to tell myself that everything was normal. But even then, I realized I wasn't completely alone. I had my mom, my sister, and my dad, and my faith to hold on to, right? Just when it seemed like I was trapped in darkness, I met my best friend, whom I'll call Jay. She supported me through my toughest times, reminding me that maybe I wasn't so cursed after all. Then came G, a girl determined to turn my world on its head. Bullying became a part of my daily life, and G's rumors spread like wildfire. As everything spiraled, my friendship with Jay snapped, rumors spread, and my grades slipped. I felt unheard and unnoticed, while G thrived on the attention. I struggled under the weight of anxiety and my ever-exceeding ADHD struggles. Middle school was tough, but I learned resilience, even if it came with its scars. The summer was a turning point, though. I found solace in an old friend and other friends who understood me, easing my anxiety and rekindling my spirit. As the new school year approached, though, fear crept back in, reminding me of past trials. But then I met O, another wonderfully awkward soul who became my ally. Together we navigated school, sharing laughs and experiencing true friendship for the first time in years. Gradually, I built a circle of friends that saw beyond G's lies, the circle including people I know today and accepted me as I am. Looking back, I realized that the hardships taught me invaluable lessons. My parents facing challenges showed me adults were not perfect and helped me to not resent my parents as I got older. Jay may not have been the right friend for me, which doesn't make her a bad person, but the experience opened my eyes to who truly matters. The bullying, while painful, taught me empathy and how to stand beside others facing our own trials and tribulations. Now as I look back on my past, it's clear that life may feel dull or overwhelming at times, but I promise there are plans waiting for you, even when you feel alone or question your path. Remember that your journey and trust that you are stronger than you realize. There's always light at ahead with God, and you have power to create a path filled with hope, friendship, and resilience.
My name is Hannah McKay. Psalm 31:24. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all who wait for the Lord. My adoption means a lot to me. It's how I met my family, and it was the start of a new life. I don't remember much about my adoption because I was only 2.5 years old. I have small memories of my adoption from the stories people have told me. My older brother was a big moment in my life. I didn't just become his little sister, I became Parker's copycat. My little brother Owen and my dad were also adopted at a young age. It was so exciting to meet my little brother when we were adopting him. Over the years, I've gone to a camp called Camp Moonwall. My older brother went there before I did. I've made so many memories at this camp, and I've made a lot of good friends there. Camp Moonwall really helps Korean adoptees learn about their culture, different foods, and what it means to be adopted. Over the years, Owen joined the camp after he was adopted. Another big event was my trip to Korea in 2025. We were always on the go because there was so much to do. It was amazing. We walked over 12 miles a day. It was so beautiful there, and I enjoyed every moment of it. There was a lot of planning, and I'm thankful my mom worked so hard so we could have a great trip. One of my favorite places we visited was the tallest building in Korea, called the Lotte Tower. Another favorite place we stayed was a tower in Busan called LCT Residence. It was such a nice hotel, my family did not want to leave when our time was over there. One of the things I loved most was going to the museums because I liked learning history, and I liked a lot of the art at the museums. We did a lot of sightseeing and shopping during those 3 weeks. In the first few days of being in Korea, I bought a traditional dress that you wear for special occasion. I wore a hanbok when I was baptized, and now I'm wearing it to my confirmation. We also visited a Korean island called Jeju. I think my whole family agrees the food there was one of the best parts. We had so many amazing meals, snacks, and treats. Family has been a big part of my life. My great-grandparents were very special to me. I didn't get to meet my great-grandma Schultz, but from the stories I've heard, I think I would have liked her a lot. My great-grandpa Schultz made a big difference in my life. We played games and did a lot of fun things at his care center. Another person I was really close to was my great-grandpa Eichhoff. We made so many memories together, it's hard to just pick one. I love making May Day baskets and Valentine's for him and the other care center workers and people. It was always nice to see his face light up, even if he didn't remember me. I just enjoyed making people happy. All of those great-grandparents have passed away now. I've always had a good relationship with them. Honestly, I probably didn't understand at the time because I was really young. The last person I would like to talk about is my great-grandma Eichhoff. She's still alive. We celebrated her 99th birthday in August. She means the world to me. One of my favorite memories is always I liked biking to her house from my grandma's, and then we would usually have a snack or a drink, and then we would color or just talk. I really liked helping her by doing little chores around her apartment. She had a garden that she shared with her neighbors, and I loved picking vegetables, fruits, and flowers. I love and care about my whole family so much. Throughout my life, my great-grandparents, grandparents, and parents have helped me in my faith journey. They've shown me how important family really is, and they've supported me a lot throughout the years. They were part of a faith chapter that just closed, but now they're going to be there when I start my new chapter. That's why I chose the Bible verse that I feel best fits me, Psalm 31:24. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all who wait for the Lord.
Ah, the best for last. My name's Tyler Mora. I have been in Scouts for 9 years, and in 2022, I made the crossover from Cub Scouts to Boy Scouts. I was not so sure about Scouts at first, and I went through stages of loving it and disliking it. I'm glad I have stayed in, but this next story was not fun. There I was at the council-wide campery with about 250 other Scouters. Then it was time for the evening campfire, where we would sing wonderfully terrible songs and watch skits just as bad. There was a giant campfire with flames going about 30 feet in the air, and the program had ended. Me and my friend were playing a game of seeing how close and long we could stay next to the fire before we could not bear the heat anymore. Suddenly, I noticed that the faces around were not from our troop. Frantically, we checked around. No one. We checked at several different places where we thought they could be, and nothing, nothing, and nothing. We sat around for a while, trying to figure out what to do. Light bulb. We should just walk back to camp. The worst thing that could happen, we would just sit around at camp for a while. In the dark for a while. So we started on our walk back to camp. It would only take about 20 minutes. The walk felt weird because there was about 250 other people at the camp, and we saw almost no one on the way back. Then as we were almost back to the camp, two dark figures emerged from the shadows. Yeah, it was just our troop mates. They had come to look for us, but it had been 40 or more minutes since we were left. And this made me a bit mad and almost disappointed. I mean, how could you not notice the annoying first years? You should probably notice when you haven't been asked some annoying question for a good minute. Yes, it was really not that big of a deal, but it made me realize how many times I spent feeling just like I just wanted to quit. But something kept me going. Maybe it was my dad telling me to just wait till the end of the year to see if I wanted to stay, or the fact that I barely liked it more than I hated it. So I kept going, and my love for scouting grew. Here are some verses I think go with that. Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, preserve in prayer. And I'm glad I've stayed, because it has increased my emotional strength and given me many amazing experiences in God's creation. I have some of the best times on campouts or even just plain old meetings. I have done many awesome things with Scouts, like camping under dazzling northern lights with a belly full of fresh-caught rainbow trout, or rowing in a giant canoe to go get ice cream, then going up a 100-foot-tall water or fire tower, or sinking a bog of sphagnum moss. You smell better than you might think afterwards. Fun fact, because of the high acidity in the water, bacteria does not do well, and deer poo can stay on the bog for years and years.